Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. For those of you who are listening on Zoom, can you hear?
Yes, I can hear you on Zoom.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. For those of you also who are tuning in, we are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and we thank you for tuning in this hour. And for those of you who are listening by internet, If you'd like to call in, we're an interactive ministry. If you'd like to call in and ask any questions, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. We also are on Zoom if you would like to do a face-to-face interaction. The Zoom number is 505-563-6808. That's 505-563-6808. And the passcode for that is Psalm, capital P-S-A-L-M 23, Psalm 23. And you can connect on Zoom. And last but not least, at the end of this message, if you would like to share it with a friend or someone in the family to be a blessing to them, if they missed out, you can go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again. We Can Begin Again. Blog Talk Radio, We Can Begin Again. And you can share this message with someone at a later time. Amen. So we're going to move forward. I'm anxious to hear this woman of God who is on. She's been on before, and she is exciting, explosive, and has a word for you. So please, ma'am, please, sir, telephone, tell a friend that Minister Austria is on the line again, and she has a word for you. Amen. We are going to move on over, and Minister Austria, we are going to turn it on over to you, and we're going to have prayer. And then we're going to be waiting for that awesome word that you're bringing forth to us. Father God, we thank you for grace. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we pray that you would illuminate your word this evening. Heavenly Father, give us clarity of mind that we might be receivers of your word this evening. And Lord, Father, as we receive this word, then please allow us not only to be hearers, but to be doers, to be able to proclaim the gospel. We thank you for this woman of God that has come on to share with the body of Christ this evening how good it is for those that carry the gospel. And we do thank you for her. We pray blessings upon her her family. We pray blessings upon her ministry as she moves forward in the name of Jesus. We pray this prayer. Amen. Minister Austria.
Amen, amen, and amen.
Hallelujah.
Let us look to the Lord in prayer just before we even go further. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we thank you right now for just preparing a word for us, God. Thank you for loving us enough to give us instruction, for just giving us your word, God, just for being God. We love you, we adore you, we magnify you, for you alone are worthy to be praised.
Thank you, Father.
So, God, right now, anoint my mind afresh, anoint my mouth, Lord God, that I can speak, O Lord, and be the mouthpiece, O Lord God, in this season, God, one of them, Lord God. So, God, right now, we thank you for being a blessing, for being who you are, God.
Yes.
And we magnify you. It's in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, God. I give all glory and honor and praises to our Lord God. I am grateful and thankful again for his mantle that rests upon each one of us. Thank you so much, Dr. John and Susanna Clay, for the extended invitation. And thank you to all of the clergy of New Beginnings Ministry. We praise and thank God for each one of you. I send a heartfelt thanks to my spiritual mother, Evangelist Tracy Morgan, with For God's Glory Ministries. Thank you to the members of my family, my immediate family on both sides, to my mentors, to my mentees, for all of the continued support and encouragement in my ministry and the way that God leads me. Thank you all so much. And thank you to all of my fellow laypersons, clergy, and members of faith in your respective capacities. You are welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight, and just thank you for just being here. I promise that God is going to speak to us. So let us look to the Lord in Scripture. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Scripture is coming today from Mark chapter 10, starting at verse number 42. It reads, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he spat and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. I've just read for you Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And you're hearing, I just want to go with you just to give you some background. The role of Mark's gospel is to establish our understanding of Jesus as servant. Mark divides Jesus' ministry into three primary territories of service. He has a servanthood in Galilee, beyond Galilee, and then concluding in Jerusalem. Every stop they make on the journey, Jesus serves by healing, teaching, or performing a miracle. Our text takes place during Jesus' second phase of travel of servanthood, the service beyond Galilee, which starts at the end of Mark chapter 7. Jesus' journey starts in Tyre, where he encounters a mother who has a child who is demon-possessed. At the mother's compelling argument, Jesus sends the demon out of the young girl without ever physically seeing her. He tells the mother to go home now. The demon has left your daughter. He then heals the deaf man with a speech impediment by putting his fingers in the man's ears and spitting on the finger, then placing it in the man's tongue. After this, Jesus speaks the word, "Come open." In chapter 8, Jesus feeds the 4,000. He restores the sight of the blind and the blind man in the Bethesda. By using his trick again, he placed it on the eyes of the man. Jesus asked him, "Can you see anything now?" Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy that made the boy incapable of hearing or speaking from the time of birth. Jesus first calls the disciples faithless. Then he tells the Father, "Anything is possible for those who believe." He concludes by commanding the demons to leave the child, never to enter again. So let's just pause right here as we've gone through just the second phase of his servanthood and his ministry. But let me just say this, that Jesus can heal you however he desires to heal you. He can send a word in the spirit realm that will transform your physical. The fact that the petition made it to his hearing, he can release the word and set you free.
Mm-hmm.
He can make a declaration like he did for the demon-possessed boy, where he said, "This will never come upon him again." Can I just say, some of you have been in some places and going through some things that have been upon you for a long time. You can't even track the date of origin. All you know is that it's here. But in this moment, God is declaring that this thing shall never be your portion again if you have faith to believe. Some of you have been asking God to move some stuff out of your life, to deal with some of those ancestral issues, to deal with some of those old issues. And so I just stop by and tell you today that today is your day, because we are right in the middle of Jesus saying, "I came to be a servant. I came to be a servant to all." Oh, God, so when you hear the sound of Jesus coming your way, call on him like Bartimaeus, "Son of David, Son of David, Son of the living God, Son of Man who is connected to my humanity. Son of God who knows my suffering. I am calling on you to hear me and know my issue. You see, what today's text shows me is that Jericho is known for being a place of noise. It says that they had just reached Jericho. Oh, God. In the name of Jesus, it's a place known for having a sound release, that when the sound is made in Jericho, that it seems to prompt a response from God. Oh, let's travel back to the Old Testament, where the children of Israel walked around the walls of Jericho, sounded the trumpet as an alarm, and at the sound of the alarm, the walls came down. They took over the city just as God told them they would. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus. Now we got a banner calling out Jesus, Son of David, in the walls of Jericho. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Can we find a sound? Can we find a sound coming from your voice? Jericho is a city in Palestine. It's a city known for its wonderful fragrances. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. But my Bible also tells me that my prayers are a sweet-smelling fragrance in the nostrils of my God, that when I release the prayer, it goes into his nostrils, and it's an aroma that fills up his nostril cavity in the name of Jesus. Can you feel it up? Has Jesus heard a sound from you? Is there a sound that has been released? So now here we are again today in that city where when the noise goes out, it captures God's attention. There's a beggar screaming loud from within the crowd, seeking something from the Lord. The people are telling him to hush, but his response was to get louder. Have you ever been in a place where you're asking something and somebody tried to silence you? Well, you wanted something and somebody said, be quiet. Have you ever been told nobody wants to hear all of that? See, we've been through some stuff and nobody knows what God has delivered you. And nobody knows what it's going to take for your healing to show up. You don't know if your healing is found. Oh, shout. You don't know if your healing is found in your belief. You don't know if your healing is found in just being in position, because God is on the way. But whatever it is, don't let anybody tell you. Be quiet when God is telling you, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. So Bartimaeus the louder he spoke, the louder. See, today is about raising our level of expectation to get it in our mind. What is it that we want from Jesus? Because by the end of this sermon, by the end of this teaching, we're going to create a sound. We're going to create a sound that has to get the Lord's attention, because he likes when we do things to get his attention. It compels him to release. It compels him to bless. It comes to do what he promised. It puts him back in line and remembers of his word when we make a sound in the earth realm. And we send it up to heaven. In this moment, just consider it for a moment. If you were right there and you heard the noise of all the crowd and you leaned over and asked somebody, what's going on? And they responded and told you, Jesus of Nazareth is walking along the way. Jesus the Christ is coming through. Yeshua, the King, is on his way. The Holy One of Israel is back. By the Redeemer of the Gentiles has made his arrival right where you are. What would you do if you heard that he was about to walk by you? What would be your request? I want you to get that thing in your mind. What you need from God right now. What is your request? If you heard him passing by, if you heard he was right in front of you, if you leaned over and somebody said, he's listening and he wants to know. He wants to know what it is that you desire of you have the courage to even open your mouth and call his name and make your request. See, Bartimaeus does two things in verse 47. First, he acknowledges Jesus' lordship and his humanity by calling him Son of David. And immediately he makes a request. That's the second thing he does. He acknowledges Jesus' humanity and his lordship, and then he makes a request. He makes the request. He says, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have mercy. Oh, the phrase have mercy means to show. Have mercy. Have mercy means show sympathy to me by removing my misery. See, grace removes the guilt and shame, but mercy removes no misery. I'm going to say it again for you. Grace removes the guilt and the shame, but mercy removes no misery. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, I don't know what your circumstance is, but we thank God for grace. But right now, in the name of Jesus, you've been crying out for some stuff. And what you did not know was that you needed to release. Have mercy on me. Remove my misery, God. Remove my misery. My misery. My Lord. Grace covers my sin. But mercy removes my misery. It removes my misery. It removes it. So here he is calling out to Jesus, saying, Lord, Lord, sympathize with me. Take my misery away from me. And in the process of requesting freedom, the same people who told him Jesus was passing by town and began to tell him to stop talking. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, ain't that just like some of the people who we know that once you get a hold of that thing for yourself and you're trying to believe it, you're trying to hold on, now they want you to stop talking because they understand and know that they don't want you to fully have freedom. But Bartimaeus says that nonetheless, I'm going to move on because I know who has freedom. I know who can remove my misery. Who can take this cup from me? Who can take this situation and make it to work together for my good? I know who holds it. I know who can shift it. God, my God, Bartimaeus knew his issue. He allowed the people to convince him. Stop asking. That made him get louder. He got louder. It says he only got louder. He only got louder. He only persisted in Bartimaeus doesn't change his approach. He acknowledges Jesus' lordship as well as his humanity. Then he makes his request. What are you doing in this moment to get the Lord's attention? In this moment, when I think about what Bartimaeus did to yell and to get loud and to begin to call on him, it reminds me of Queen Esther. When the Jews were about to be persecuted by word of Haman, when she knew, she went and told Mordecai. She said, Mordecai, you know, I can't go into Caesar the king unless he drop down his golden scepter. I gotta be invited to come in to see the king. And she said, if you go in without invitation, that means that he will take your life. And then Mordecai told her, don't believe because of your position that you will be exempt for what is happening, but it will surely come upon you. So then she said, I take no thought for my life. I take no thought right now. What I gotta do for my people, I'm gonna go in and see the king. So she begins to walk back and forth in the hallway until she got the king's attention. And then the king told her, Queen has to come unto me. And once she made it into the king's presence, he asked her, Queen Esther, what can I do for you? I will give you up to half of my kingdom if this will make you happy. It sounds like he's trying to figure out what was her issue and to see what he could do to remove her misery. He saw the anguish. He saw what she was going through. He saw it upon her face. And then she did one thing. She made a request for one thing. And he asked her, okay, but what is it that you really want from to believe because of our acts, our doings, our mishaps, our mistakes, that we are out of the realm of potential to get the fullness of what God has to offer. Oh God. So we have a beggar. And in one translation of Bartimaeus' name, it means unclean. So you got an unclean man. An unclean man who still comes and requests the very best from God, even though he knew his situation. He was not confounded by his circumstance that he did not make the request he really wanted from God. He wanted sympathy and his misery removed. So just right now, just begin to think. Have you made a sign for a movement that would get the Lord's attention? Have you made a request to him? Your misery may not look like Bartimaeus. Your circumstances may not be the same as Queen Esther. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, you may really do need your family saved. You may need another thing from God, but whatever your it is right now, start calling on the name of the Lord. Start calling on him. Son of David. Son of David. I need you to have mercy on me. Son of David. Son of David. I can't even articulate it. I can't even explain it. People won't even understand all that I go through. But I need you. I need you to have mercy. I need you to make an exchange. I need you to sympathize and take this away. I need you right now, Lord God, to let mercy remove my misery. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we serve a God who is waiting on us to grab hold of his attention, to grab hold of him. He's waiting on us to cry out. So when the people start telling you to be quiet, what will be your response? When people start asking you to just stop talking about that man called Jesus, what will be your response? Will you retreat or will you get louder and start proclaiming, let grace take my guilt, and let mercy remove my misery, my afflictions, my pains, my shortcomings, my infirmities. Have mercy on us right now, Lord God. Jesus, we're calling on you. Jesus, we want to get your attention. Jesus, right now we're petitioning you. Jesus, in the midst of this moment, the name is above every name. Oh, we call your name right now, God. Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus, the great I am. God, we call on you, God. Take our misery. Take our pain, God. Take it, Jesus. Take it right now. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, Lord God. For you said you came to be a servant, Lord God. And so right now, Lord God, we take you at your word and say, have mercy. Have mercy on us. Oh, God. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I know you're listening, but the atmosphere is charged. If I were you right now, I would acknowledge his lordship. I would acknowledge him right now and give him my request. What are you requesting? What are you requesting? What are you requesting of him? What are you making? He is always near. He says, when you draw nearer to me, I will draw nigher unto you. Jesus. And as the text goes on, it says, Jesus heard him and he stopped moving. When he heard Bartimaeus' voice, his voice was enough to stop Jesus from going further. He stopped. And not only did Jesus stop walking, but he told the disciples, tell him to come here. Come here. He told them, bring him to me. They told Bartimaeus, cheer up. Come on. He's calling you. Cheer up. Come on. He's calling you. He's calling you, my brothers and my sisters, because Jesus is calling us as well. So cheer up. I know you've been going through. I know it's been distractions. ascension. You have his ascension. You have his ascension. We have his ascension right now. But again, we got to learn how to respond like Bartimaeus. We got to respond. We got to make a response. This is what Bartimaeus did. He threw aside his coat and he jumped up. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, he threw aside his coat. He threw his aside his coat, and he jumped up. If we were face to face, I would tell you to look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, he didn't waste any time. If we were face to face, I would tell you to look to the other neighbor and say, neighbor, he didn't waste any time. But because we are virtual, I will say it for you. When Jesus called him, he didn't waste any time. He jumped up. This is a man who is blind at the moment. He is fully incapable of being able to see. But he didn't let that circumstance stop his response to Jesus calling him. He jumped up to look to Jesus. Whatever you were holding on to, whatever you brought into this year that you knew was something you should have let go, I would encourage you right now in this moment to drop it and to get up and get in the presence of Jesus. Let go of depression. Let go of the infirmity. Let go of the stress. Let go of the financial burdens. Let go of every woe you have carried from year to year, because in this moment, Jesus is calling you. He's calling you to come to him. And so, you got to be willing to lay the coat aside. Lay all of the stress, the pressure, the things that people said, all of the things that were formed against you, everything that you have been carrying, throw it aside. And in this moment, jump up. Jump up, because he's calling you. Many of us are guilty of having a delayed response to God. We take our time, or we believe that we don't have to be in a hurry to get in position. We delay, and we want to say we're praying and we're fasting to determine whether or not if this is a decision or if we should go. We take all of this time, and we delay a response, and we try to formulate a rational expectation. Now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you're moving us from a place of constantly delaying our response to you. We take our time doing all, we procrastinate. The spirit of procrastination plagues the body of Christ in a deep way. And so I had this question, and it just sat on my mind for a while. It says, I begin to think, what is the point of calling on Jesus if you are not prepared to respond to him when he calls back to you? And I'll ask it again. What is the point of calling on Jesus if you are not prepared to respond to him when he calls back to you? What is the point of calling him if you are not ready, if you know that you are going to be delayed and fearful in your response? You're going to be hindered in your ability to go forward. What is the point of calling someone who said, we serve a God of action. What's the point of calling? Why would you call his name on a day? Have mercy. And you're not prepared to respond when he calls back and tells you to come to him. So right now in the name of Jesus, every person who has been given a delayed response and does not understand that there are consequences when we delay our response, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, begin to move in every person who called it. Oh, God, don't let them be like, oh, God, the wicked one who hid the talent in the ground, who said I was putting it in a safe place. Don't let them use fasting as an excuse for why they delay, God. Yes, sometimes we do have to fast and pray for information, but God, there are some places where you gave us instruction. We knew the sound of your voice, and you were requiring that we move on that thing immediately. Right now, take out everything that would make us a worker of iniquity. when you're calling us to do a thing, and it would cause us to delay. I just want to share a bit of a testimony with you. When I was buying my home, and I was in my home buying experience, my home buying experience is like nobody else's. It lasted for a total of 3 months. That is the part, the idea of conceiving the idea that I actually wanted to buy a home, all the way to the place of closing and buying a home. So that means within 3 months, I thought, hey, I want to buy a house. And then at the end of that 3 month period, I bought the house. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I just want you to take that, because most people think years, 3 years or more ahead of time about buying, or however their process goes. But my process was a total of 3 months. And the total, and so just in that process of thinking about buying a home, finding a home, a realtor, and even finding a bank, all of that took place in 3 months. So in this process, the real estate market began to shift. The interest rate started to go up. And in that 3 month span, the rate shifted from 3% to 3.5%, then to 3.75%. But what I did not know was that the manager of the mortgage department at the bank had been watching the market every day. And before the interest rates made the third shift, he called me saying, "Miss Wilson, I've been watching the market. Things are about to shift up again. I thought they would go back down, but it's not going to happen. We can do a price lock now for you to lock you in at your interest rate so it does not go up at the time of closing." He said, "I recommend we do this, but I need to send you the documents to sign if you agree." So I agreed, because I had no knowledge or even knew what was going on. The very next day, the rates were up to 3.75% and going higher. Had she not been watching, and had I said, give me a day to think it over, I would have been paying much more in interest for my home than I do now. Mm-hmm. What is it costing us to have a delayed response and responding to God when he's saying, "Come to me, I'm holding you"? It was just one area I could have had, because I had no idea. I didn't even know a price lock was an option, but I didn't even know that the favor on my life, somebody who is in the business of making money, that made a decision that said, "We ain't going to make money off of her. We're going to hold the interest rate right here and lock her in." What if the favor of God was not upon my life? Well, they would have been watching this offering that I didn't even know existed. Right now, what has it cost us to be delayed? Was healing on the line, and we didn't get it. We didn't get it because we were too consumed with other possibilities. What happened? Because we delayed and responding and did not allow God to be God. God is always big. Tender when we are slow in our response to him. I'll say it again. We don't know what we hinder when we are slow in our response to him.
Mm-hmm.
So no more delays. No more delays. When Jesus calls you, you have to get up, throw down stuff you've been holding on to, and run to him. In this same book, he told the rich man, "Sell everything you have and follow me." That man went away weeping. The Bible says because he had many possessions, we have to be willing to let go of what we've crafted our identities around to meet Jesus when he calls us to him. Here's a man who walked away weeping because of what he was holding on to. He did not want to release what he had been holding on to get greater riches from the one that says, "I am rich in mercy. I am rich in grace. I own all the cattle on the hill. Everything in the world is subject to me." But he couldn't release. So I'm begging you that right now in this atmosphere, release it. Whatever you've been holding on to, release the issues on the job, release the children, release everything that you've been holding on that has been carrying out and creeping up into your body and taking on issues in your body, having lower back pains, having migraines and headaches, and having shortness of breath, because you got all this stuff you've been holding on calls you, and you won't just get his presence and say, hey, you won't get his presence and throw down what you've been holding on to. So the next time Jesus calls, we're gonna declare right now, we won't delay, but we're going to jump up when we hear him saying, come to me, come to me, bring that one to me. Oh, the text has already told us that Jesus stopped because he heard him calling him, which his loud calls are what calls Jesus. But in verse 51, when Bartimaeus is now face to face with Jesus, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus responds by using a possessive article. He no longer calls him son of David, but he calls him my rabbi, my teacher, my healer, my deliverer, my way through, my provider. He makes the relationship personal. Then he makes his request. I want to see. I don't know what your request is, but if you have been following the acts of Bartimaeus, he first acknowledges Jesus' lordship and his humanity, and he follows that with a request. He didn't delay when he heard the call of Jesus, and now he makes the relationship personal, followed up with his request. My rabbi, my Lord, my strong power, my father and my friend, my keeper, my deliverer, my way through, my way maker. He makes it personal. God is looking for us to make the relationship personal with him in this season. He knows he is Lord, but is he your Lord? He knows he's the great I am, but is he your I am? He knows that he's Alpha and Omega, but is he your Alpha and Omega? Is he your beginning and your end? Is he your father? Is he your friend? Is he your presence over troubled water? Have you made it personal? Have you called him my father and my Lord? Oh, my God, my friend. Oh, my God, my God, my God. He's my God. He's my solid rock. He's the one in whom I depend. He's my everything. He's my all in my all. Have you called on him? See, he's aware that you're trying, because you wouldn't be here tonight if you have not tried. But have you spoken to the atmosphere? My Lord, my Lord. See, he moves for his children. He said, my elect are in my hand, and no one can pluck them out. Oh, I can recall the moment when I received the gift of salvation, and I was baptized. In that moment, God started working on my hearing. I could hear the voice of God without any issues, but I wasn't seeing things in the spirit realm. And after about a week of only hearing, I said, God, I hear you, but I can't see. And God began to respond like only God can. He said, yes, but can you hear? And I responded and said, yes, God, I can hear you, but I can't see. God said, I need to establish your hearing in this season before I can open up your eyes to see what's been going on in the spirit realm. He allowed me to know the sound of his voice, because what I did not know was going to happen was the very tongues that I began to speak with, that I would also hear the voice of the enemy telling me that what you're doing is not real. It's not making an impact, because he wanted to silence my tongues. See, he knew what power, my oropono, my sekiriosa, what happened in the presence of his kingdom. He knew what I spoke of was going to be snatched out. So what he wanted to do was take my voice and take me from being able to hear God. Oh, he did not know what God had already had me praying. Do you know the sound of my voice? Can you hear me when I'm I had dreams. I can see visions. I can see when I pray. I can see things moving the spirit realm. I got the capability of hearing as well as seeing right now in the name of Jesus. So God, right now, whatever's been going on, whatever's had our spiritual manifestations of the oil of Lord God from showing up, hindering its possibility of flowing in our
Thank you so much, Pastor Gary, for ministering these evenings, for bringing us right on time words and listening to the Lord, for answering the call, for just ministering to us this evening. Praise God. Praise the Lord for you and for your ministry. One of the questions when you were ministering, I wrote it down, a journal, and I'd like to, I'll be journaling on this tonight. What is the point of calling on Jesus?
Jesus.
Yeah. Be unresponsive, and I'm just summarizing right
God.
Now, but fearful and unresponsive. What's
Jesus.
The point?
Jesus.
What's the point? And there's consequences.
Yeah.
There's consequences. I've been praying to be able to respond immediately to the question when the Holy Spirit is speaking. And the Lord has been working with me and training me to listen and to hear. So I really, what you were saying, I resonated with me and my journey.
Jesus.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
To God be all the glory. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mic's open.
Praise the Lord. This is Sister Harrison of Detroit, Michigan. And I really was really touched by the aspect. And really, I truly love to come to the sense of my really better than the depth of your soul, how you cry out. And I do think I got a special eye about really focusing myself on listening. Because I'm listening and I have direction, and I praise the Lord. God opened up avenues. You tell me that God opened up avenues for us, but if we're not listening, then we're going to miss out.
Yes,
so there is a accountability to listening. It's accountability to be a child of God. And I truly appreciate how you work for the message. I feel your love is coming forth. So I just pray that God continues to use your and continue to bless our things. I'm going to take my word on this evening and hear the others that I come to, especially with my daughters and my family. So praise the Lord. Thank you, woman of God, for the awesome message. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Praise God.
Good evening, all. This is Miles. I want to say what I said five. Lord,
something that you will speak out
getting God's attention. A woman going to his nostrils, and you had me going to my archive of notes and brought back to my remembrance of how to get his attention. How to get prayers with thanksgiving, forgiveness, intercession, praise and adoration, utter dependence, seeking wisdom, petition of supplication, seeking peace and salvation. I've heard that from your message. Keep on keeping on. God bless
you.
Is there another? All mics are open.
I would like to say also, as Pastor Miles brought out, when you were speaking, I thought about fire, how when my three-year-old used to be in service, and, you know, people used to laugh, but all of a sudden, she'll hear the word, and all of a sudden she'll yell out, fire. And, you know, people would think, well, why would she do that? So I realized that
It was a fire on the inside that she was going forth. I was thinking to myself, I was saying to myself, fire. But I didn't want to really come back and dish it. I didn't want to yell that out like that, like going forth. But thank you, Pastor Miles, for bringing that out. So praise God. That was fire. Amen.
Amen. It was fire. I tell you, Brother Moderator, need to have her back real soon.
Yes, that's what I was saying. Fire. So praise God. I'm glad you said it. I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to yell it out, fire. But
amen, amen, amen. But the Holy Spirit moves like in fire. That's of the Spirit, too. Mm-hmm. You know, that your granddaughter would shout that out when the word is coming forth. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Amen.
And this was that type of message.
Yes.
This was that type of message. You hit it on the head when you said that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
And see, and then when you, and one thing that I love about her is that she has the learning. As my daddy said, you could hear that learning. You can hear that education. But most people who I have known who have went to school and studied the Bible, they let that learning overpower their burden.
Mm-hmm.
Not this preacher. She takes that learning, and she added to her burden.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are in the spirit,
amen.
You can't hear that oil.
Amen.
Something is wrong with you.
Amen.
If you are on the phone and you can't hear the
oil, that's right.
You need to go back and say, Lord, we need to talk. Because if you're on Zoom, you see the oil. You say it. And the word says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You should hear Miss Lon, but it's your hour. We'll be quiet because you got to know me. I'll talk.
Amen. Amen. Is there another before we close? Anybody on the phone line? Your mics are open if you'd like to just go ahead and talk.
Yes, sir. I would like to say something.
Yes.
Thank you all for having me. Thank you, Ashley, for sending me. The word was awesome. Everybody who shared a testimony and a response, each response was a to me. It helped shed some light on some things that I was hearing in the message, and there was like a passage of a statement that you made within giving the message where you said, is this what you really want? And so the Holy Spirit just really began to speak to me in that moment using that phrase when Esther went before the king and he saw her in her misery. Yeah. And when I come before God and I'm crying out to him and I'm asking him to do this thing for me, and when you work, you reveal this to me. This is not what you really want, what you're asking me for.
Mm.
Jesus.
This is not going to help your misery.
Mm.
Jesus,
tell me what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just, thank you so much for sending me the reminder to get on, because, you know, I'm just back-to-back busy. But thank you so much. This has been such a life-saving,
Jesus,
a generational curse-breaking blessing to me.
Hallelujah.
I have no idea, and I should say, stay tuned for the testimony, because it's going to take something in me to get up immediately, like when I brought a baby.
Yes.
And call out to God and tell him what I really want.
Jesus.
God delight. Thank you so much. God bless you, my sister.
Bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
And y'all again, go ahead and book up the next one for Wednesday.
And again,
look at her face.
Yeah, well, she always comes with a powerful word, you know, and we can feel it through, you know, the lines. And you know what? This is really what it's all about. It's just being a blessing to the body of Christ. You know, there are so many, you know, who need to hear this word. So I share with you online, for those of you who are listening online, those of you who are listening by computer, go into blog. We can hear something in the background. Someone's moving. Go into Blog Talk Radio, and then type in We Can Begin Again. Blog Talk Radio, type in We Can Begin Again, and share this message with someone. There's someone that has their mics on, and we can hear the ruffling. These mics, they pick up everything. But go into Blog Talk Radio and type in We Can Begin Again. We Can Begin Again, and share it with someone. Amen. Again, my echo are from Minister Wilson. Grace removed your circumstances. If you could, please, and I'm sorry for that, if you could stop moving, whatever you're doing, if you could just mute your mics, mute your device. I have all the mics and everything's open, and we're hearing everything is being recorded. Thank you so much. Grace removes your circumstances, and mercy removes your misery. Amen. So I hold tight on to that. That is a word, you know, for you and a word for I. Minister Wilson, would you please close us out in prayer? And thank you so much for coming on. And listen, we do not take it for granted. Anyone that come on to share a word, you have study, there's time. So we do thank you for coming on and sharing with the body of Christ. Amen.
God, we thank you so much, Lord God, just for being God. God, we thank you for this word. We come to you, Lord God. We've heard your word. We've feasted on it. And we make a move to move at it, Lord God. We've asked you to make the exchange of every misery that we may have brought to this line today, brought to this study. We give it to you, Lord God. We don't leave out of this place without acknowledging, Lord God, that we want to give you everything, every weight, every burden, everything that we've been holding on to.
Yes.
We release it now, God.
In Jesus'
name. God, right now we thank you, Lord God, that you are calling us, Lord God, calling us back into your presence.
Yes.
To be able to receive that which we really desire, God. God, any way in which our minds told us, any way in which the enemy may have lied and said that we cannot have all of which you have promise, we cancel the assignment of that lie. We snatch it off of our minds right now, Lord God. And God, in the name of Jesus, God, we get in position and in a posture where we can say, we receive what you've spoken, Lord God. We desire to see all that you declare.
Yes.
Over our families, Lord God, over our generations, Lord God. We desire it, Lord God.
Yes.
Said, oh Lord God, that we are the seeds of Abraham, oh Lord God. God, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, you said we are a lineage and a royal priesthood, Lord God. God, in the name of Jesus, God, you said we are your children, Lord God. We belong to you. So my Lord and my God, thank you for covering us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for delivering us, God. We give it to you, God. And we know that you are moving at it. We seal this word and this prayer under the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
We apply the blood to every single person, Lord God. The blood of Jesus from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Let the blood, Lord God, that never loses its power, be applied to your people. And let it move and flow, God. Let the blood work. And we thank you. We thank you right now, Lord God. God, right now we ask that you, God, will be the lifter of our countenance. That right now, Lord God, that you would cause, oh Lord God, that your glory would shine upon our faces and that we would see and hear you, God. We thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you. And for whatever your let me see is, that you would believe that right now God is listening and he's attentive to what he needs to see to manifest in your life. We honor you, God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you. Good night, everyone. We love you.
It's so hard to understand. fall.